Welcome to Playful Beginnings, a podcast about the magic of play therapy for therapists, students, and anyone interested. In our podcast, we'll explore the deeper understanding of play therapy and the skills we use when working with children.
We hope to help you understand the why behind what we do and how it helps kids heal and grow. I'm Dr. Christy Opiola, a working play therapist and university professor in North Carolina.
I'm Dr. Maggie Parker, a play therapist and professor in DC.
Hi, everyone. We are so lucky to be able to kind of continue our conversation with Dr. Ahu Line. She is the author of a new book coming out for play therapists called Working with Parents in Play Therapy, a resource guide for play therapists. And that should be out this summer. And then also, she writes a blog for Psychology Today called Nobody Knows What They're Doing, Navigating Parenting with an Ex-Child Expert Who is Humbled by Parenthood. So we're really excited to have you here again with us, Dr. Line, or Ahu.
Hi, it's so good to be here. Thank you guys for having me.
And one of the things that Christy and I talked about that I think is really interesting is the different ways in which we talk with parents about how it might get worse before it gets better. And so Christy, how about you go ahead and share, and then maybe Ahu, you can let us know what you do.
Yes. Always love to warn them that sometimes kids' behaviors will escalate before
yes.
And I remind them in that first like parent consultation, I was like, okay, so how are behaviors at home? Did we escalate, or are they kind of stable, or do they seem a little bit better? And they're like, oh, they've escalated. I was like, okay. Remember, prior to this, sometimes they thought they didn't have permission to share. And so now that they're feeling that there is more permission to share, opening like a really stuffed box, things are going to pop out as you open it because you've overstuffed it. The same thing is going to happen, or like a soda that has been shaken before you open it, right? It's going to have a little bit of explosion before the bubbles settle, and then you can, you know, enjoy the rest of it. Same thing is happening with kids in the play therapy room. They've been bottling this up. We've just shaken it up a little bit so that they can feel or be acknowledged in those. And then they're going to share that more with us.
Oh, I love that analogy. I'm going to steal that, Christy. That's a good one. Yeah. I always say, like, hey, you can expect for things could perhaps get worse before they get better. I said, the way that I kind of see it is, you know, kids have different rules and different settings. And so they know where some of these emotions are allowed and how they can be expressed and in what ways it's appropriate to express them. And so I actually talk about this a lot with parents who come in, maybe with more like internalizing things, right? So when kids are really anxious, the parents always say, like, they're perfect at school, and they come home and it is a disaster. And so especially in cases like that, I really want to highlight the, like, it gets worse before it gets better, because I want to explain to them, like, hey, what's probably happening is they don't necessarily feel comfortable sharing a lot of these outbursts, so this aggression. And so maybe you're only seeing it at home, or maybe they have a really hard time expressing emotion, and so they're just pouring it inside of them. And that's where you're seeing things like hair pulling or anxiety or trouble sleeping or, you know, those types of things. And so if we see a lot more externalizing behavior, to me, it's almost like we're getting it out so that we can process it. And so again, I talk about like adult counseling and how that can happen for adults a lot too. Like, you imagine if you've bottled up all of these emotions for years and years, and you go to counseling and then you start talking about it, well, it's not going to feel great. And so adults can say, like, hey, therapy's actually made me feel worse. And we see that a lot with grownups too. And so not as succinct as the soda can. I like that one a lot better. But yeah, that's how I describe it.
Yeah, this is more with adults, but I'll kind of say similar. We went and got our doctorate, and while we were getting our doctorate, we had to go to counseling, and it was really hard. And I found out a lot of things about myself that were really tough, and I still decided to do this. So trust in that it does help you feel better. And I think that's where I was really glad to be able to say, like, I've also done this and it's really hard, and I wouldn't still be doing it if I didn't see the benefits of it. And I think it helps too for parents, that little, you know, and who knows, it could backfire. They could be like, if she needed therapy, then why should I come see her? But I think for a lot of people, it's kind of feels confirming and less scary when you're like, I get it. This is what's going on, and I see it. And I don't know, a little self-disclosure.
I think we've shared this or talked about this before, Maggie, that it's really easy for parents to put us on a pedestal that we do everything right all the time. Mm-hmm. I make mistakes regularly, right? Using Gary Landrieu's favorite term, right? We're fallible human beings. And I think it's important for parents to see that we too are fallible, that I have some expertise in this area because I've spent a lot of time studying it. I have clinical experience in it, but there's things that are going to come up that I'm going to get surprised by, that I'm going to handle in ways that I wish I might have handled differently. All of those things, because I think it gives them permission to come into the relationship with us with a little more ease. They don't have to perform for us. I think over time, that's what we kind of show. So when you're vulnerable and you share a little bit about yourself, I think it makes you more human than the Emmy sitting on the shelf that this is what I'm aspiring to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that too, Christy, because I think it comes up a lot for me when I work with parents who you can tell there's a lot of like perfectionism and wanting to get it right. And I notice this a lot too with parents who may have some sort of career where they work with kids. I know for me, like the pressure I put on myself of like, I have to be this perfect parent because I'm telling other people what to do with their kids, right? Like so much of that again can be so self-imposed. But I find that when I am vulnerable with parents in those moments too, I do think it, again, it helps them trust that like, this is an environment where you can tell me this is what I did and maybe it didn't work, or I did what I had to do in the moment, right? And so I always tell parents that too, where I always talk about how the play therapy room, like I'm not expecting anything out of them. And so it is so easy for me to provide that patience and that warmth and unconditional positive regard, because I'm not trying to get their shoes and coat on to go to school before I'm late for work, right? Like all those types of things. But I'll always say like, hey, do I bribe my child with a lollipop? Yes, I do, because you got to do what you got to do to get out of the door in the morning. And so I want to like really normalize that for parents too. Like I do so many things at home that I'm like, oh gosh, if anybody saw me do this, they would be like, I'm never coming to you. But I, again, because there's a timeline or there's something I need my kid to be doing. And I think, again, I think it helps highlight how play therapy is such a different environment for kids, because I get to be different in there too. I don't need this child to be anybody different than who they are. I don't need them to hurry up. I don't need them to prove that they're getting better. Like I just need them to be themselves. And again, I think that's why play therapy works, you know? So I like to tell parents all the mistakes I make too. Not all of them. They don't need to know all of them, but some of them.
There's not the weight of, I'm not shaping your child, right? Like in all these ways that I think parents feel a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
But, you know, like they really want to put out or mold a really wonderful citizen of this town, this country, this world, where we get 45 minutes once a week or 53 minutes with this child once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can be really consistent for 53 minutes.
Yes, I can.
At some point, it's harder if I had them for 2 hours or a whole day, or the last 6 days when everyone in our family has had the flu, or, you know, grandma and grandpa are visiting and we're all stressed out because all of our routines are off. And so I'll even highlight that, right? Like, I know I have the privilege of being able to provide this in this space for them because I don't have these other pressures on me.
Mm-hmm.
To do these things. My goal and my hope is in being able to provide this for this allotment of time. What we've learned over time is that will really help them apply those in other places, to start practicing those in other times. That 45, 53 minutes is really kind of like trial and error for them to try things to see if, and for them to be brave and vulnerable outside of here to practice these with you, to practice these at school, to practice these at baseball or with a friend at a friend's house, right? And that's the cool thing, because it's a unique relationship that they do get to practice something different themselves. Just like I get to be different for 43 minutes, 45 minutes, 53 minutes, whatever it is, they also get to feel different in this space in relationship with someone who is really trusting them, who is very attuned, paying so much attention to them.
Yeah.
But you can't do that at home.
No. You try.
I don't have to clean the house. I don't also have to return work calls or call the repairman to come fix this. I don't have to do that for your child. So,
and I think like that's one of the ways I started explaining it when parents would ask me if I myself was a parent, is I'd be like, you know, they already have you. They don't need another parent. That's not what my role needs to be. And I found that that really connects with parents, because it affirms who they are, and that I'm not here to replace you. This is what I'm here to do.
Can I ask you a question, Ahu?
Yeah.
What do you think is your biggest challenge in working with parents?
So many challenges. I really think so. Let me think about that. I think, so I am such a people pleaser. So I think again, like, I talk about this in my book too. I think it's really helpful. Just takes so much like self-awareness to recognize like where you struggle, right? Like wherever you struggle in relationships, because whatever that is, like it's going to come up with parents, because again, you're dealing with an adult in crisis who's going to show it differently. And so I'm such a people pleaser, and then I'm so superiority. So those two, like if we're talking about like the Adlerian personality priorities, like my one and two, well, I'm so anxious all the time. Just the worry about everybody liking me and being great. And so those two things together can just cause so much turmoil for me, because I want so badly to help this child, and I want so badly for this parent to like me, and I want both of those things to be true all the time. And so I think I really struggle a lot of times with like harder conversations, you know, and I like, especially ones where I have to talk about like very prickly topics. And so I know I like my business partner is so direct, and I just love her because she does such a good job of really pushing me to like have some of these hard conversations. And so I have a hard time with direct parents. I do. I get so anxious and flustered, and I want to like prove that I'm good and that I'm doing everything you say. But I will say those hard conversations, like setting boundaries with parents, is really, really hard for me. And I know just setting boundaries in general, like period, is hard. But I think I have a hard time with that because I want them to like me, and I want to do right by them. And so, and sometimes it can feel like at odds, when like those two things can feel at odds. And so it's taken a lot of like pushing myself and knowing that like, if I don't have, I say this too, and I say it often, like if you don't have the hard conversations on the front end, like you're going to have a really messy conversation on the back end. And so I really push myself to have a lot of these like prickly conversations fast, but I'm not great at them. And I watch myself get so flustered and like over explain. And so I do a lot of like role playing, and I literally like called my business partner. I was like, okay, I'm going to practice with you what I'm going to say to this mom, talk about all the different things. And it was so hard. So I think I struggle with that. I know I'll struggle with that probably for the rest of my life. But again, I think the more I do it, the easier it gets.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important too. And Christy and I talk about this a lot, is just having people that you can trust that can support you so you can practice those things and know that you're not going to be shamed or told how you're doing it wrong, but just allow you the space. And so I encourage everyone to find people that they have, that they can rely on for those things, because it is important to role play them, because they're going to happen, and just being prepared, I think.
I also think it's important to have that person who isn't going to judge or view you less because you're struggling with
right
this part of yourself that just doesn't want to disappoint people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I've kind of experienced and explored through some research is how parenting influences our role as play therapists and then the way we work with parents. And so I was wondering, as you kind of shifted from to the role of the parent, how that's impacted your parent consults.
Oh, okay. Such a good question. And also, Maggie, I don't know if you've told everybody on this podcast about your article, but I tell every single person I've ever met about really? How much that article, I mean, it is amazing. So will you tell everybody that you wrote an article about the role of a play therapist and a parent, please?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm blushing. I did not think it was... What was it? It's like the duality of play therapists and mothers from a feminist perspective. And it was just like the authors. It was Kara Carnes-Holt, Courtney Glickman, and Christy Mina Wallen. We interviewed each other about some of the struggles that we had and the insecurities, but they're constantly in my mind when I'm in parent consults of, well, I'll let you answer the question and then I'll share mine.
Yes. Okay. So anyway, I tell everybody I know about that article because I think my daughter was maybe 2, 1.5. And I was like, just going back to practice when that article came out, and I read it and I like cried because I was like, that is all the way I feel. There's so many, it just brings up so much stuff, right? Like brings up so much of your own stuff always. And I think it's so complicated to like not let those feelings come up during session or when you're meeting with parents, or not to over, what's the word I'm looking for? identify with the parent that you're working with, or right, or not bring too much of yourself into it. Or so I can feel. My daughter's three, and so I would say I'm like a newer parent, I guess. And so I can still feel how some of those things are just, it's almost like I have to process them a lot too, to try to figure out how to like keep them out of parent consultations and keep them out of the playroom. I'll say in some ways it benefited me because I do think it helped my confidence. And I think the way it helped my confidence the most was that I said this before, like I was so humbled by being a parent that before I had a child, I think I would say, well, research says this is what you should do with your children. And according to best practices, like I didn't actually say it like that, but that's how I like imagine I sounded, where I would tell parents, these are the best ways to do things. And this is what you should be doing. So black and white. And I think the way that becoming a parent has benefited me the most is that I recognize like parenting is not black and white, and you do what you have to do to get through the day. And if you are doing something that maybe we would advise against, you're doing it because you have to. Like you are, if I give my daughter a lollipop, if I bribe her to put her shoes on in the morning, I am literally just trying to get through the day. And so I think it's allowed a lot more empathy for me with parents, which I think I had before, but it's empathy for doing what you have to do to get by, right? Everybody wants to do right by their children, but sometimes you are going to cut corners. And sometimes the thing that you know is helpful for them actually takes a lot of time and a lot of energy. It is easier for my daughter to be in diapers, but because then I don't have to carry a little potty everywhere, but I know she needed to be potty trained. Like, I think about those types of things, and potty training takes so much work. And so I think about a lot of those milestones. And so I think it allows me just to be more human, you know, in a lot of my interactions with parents. But the ways I think it's impacting me is that, you know, you set a lot of boundaries with your time. And so there are times where I feel like just that mom guilt of, it comes up in so many different ways. So the mom guilt of, man, I had 9 sessions today and I had so much empathy for these kids. And I came home and my daughter won't eat her dinner, and I need to give her the same amount of empathy that I'm giving to these children. And like, I am spent, you know? And so that guilt comes up and it is tough. That I think I'm still grappling with a lot of that. And I think it's hard again. It's that the pressure that is so self-imposed, but I just talked about this in a blog post I wrote about being a parent. And something I said is that like being a parent today is just so much more public now than it ever was in the past, right? So everybody has an opinion, and there's so much judgment in parenting. And I know that's always existed, but I will say the posting of pictures and everybody kind of being in everybody's lives and the oversharing of things almost has lended itself to parenting being public. And because parenting is so public, it's also, there's so many more holes for people to almost poke at your parenting. And so I know that I can feel a lot of that and a lot of that pressure. And so then for me, it's even more heightened because it's, wait, you do this for a living. You tell people what to do with their kids all day and you're still not doing it right. And what if people find out, right? So that guilt and that worry and that self-imposed pressure of being this perfect parent, which nobody is a perfect parent, you know, it doesn't exist, but still holding myself to that standard. So yeah, I think it's really complicated. There's a lot of things I think I've benefited from, but in other ways, I think it's made it harder, you know?
I think like that's one of the things I struggle with the most is how much of my own experience do I share, right? It's, hey, listen, let's try limit setting at home. And they're like, that's not going to work. I hear you. And so then I'll start to share examples of how as a parent, I've used it and it's been helpful in ways that it hasn't. And then I'm constantly, is this too much? Is this not enough? Am I just talking about how I'm a great parent, or is this something that they can resonate with? But then also there's so much guilt that comes from it. You know, when you have your own kids and they're struggling, like that was some, my kids for a long time were like, it's not fair that you go to help other kids and you don't stay home with me. And that's a dagger to the heart. And, you know, my children really know how to get to me. That's like, Christy's laughing. They're like, you know, other times,
I say the same thing to Lee, because although Lee isn't helping kids, Lee is helping people. But sometimes I'm not a parent, so I have not had a child myself. And I think sometimes we're conditioned as women, right, to see this as the most important job that we hold. And I do think it's a really important job, right? But so we let these little things like get to us, because I feel the same way about, you know, the question of, do you have kids? My answer is no. And then what are parents reading about that I chose not to have kids, right? So I think there's a duality to each of the things that you guys are bringing up and kind of that people have said to me, oh, so you just pour your heart into your work, right? Like that's how you fulfill your need to have kids. I don't go into it, but in my head, I'm like, there's a lot of assumptions you've just like projected towards me that I could easily feel guilty about.
Right.
Right. It's also just a little bit of that, but just saying, you know, like, Maggie, do your two kids say that to Lee? I doubt they say that to Lee.
No.
Right.
No. They never. I'm like, ask your dad to stay home. And they're like, you know, and it, of course, in his defense, right, he has to go into the office. And Molly was today even working at school. She was like, are you working from home today? I am. She was like, so I'll just stay home with you. I was like, no, you're going to go to school. And she was like, how about you homeschool me? That seems like a good option. Let's think about that, Molly. We're having a hard time teaching you how to put your own hair in a ponytail. You really want mom to teach you how to do math? And she was like, huh? No. Okay. Yeah. But, and you know, it's like there are times that it hits worse, right? So it's kind of funny, but I don't know. I do feel that sometimes. And like the way people talk to you is really, you know, what Christy was saying, it's really unkind at times. And it's how do you, I think that goes to also, who do you call in those moments when you need to process those things? Because you can't process them with your kids or your clients, right? And Christy's been a really great support for me in those times where I'm crying because I'm going to see a kid instead of with my own. Or they'll ask me if I'll be their play therapist. Like, you don't want me to be. We've used sessions with me and my kids, and we have to do them as what not to do because I respond as a parent instead of a play therapist. It's so hard. But I think the importance of having someone that you can have that conversation with, and that will give you that non-judgmental support.
Yeah. I will say it's very cute because Margot thinks that she, you know, anytime she comes to my office, there's, you know, there's toys in a playroom. And so I think she thinks that all grownups go to an office that is a playroom. And so she's like, why daddy not have an office with toys? And then she calls her playroom, she calls it her office, which is very cute. So I will say that. That's the perk for now. But yeah, I'm waiting for the like, why do you play with other people's kids and not with me at home? So waiting for that moment. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, they come up with gems, but yeah, it is, it's a hard balance, I think, for anyone who's in this space, like regardless of, it's just, it's hard to hold space and for the people in your lives and your clients and parents.
Yeah, it's hard not to feel like an imposter, you know, you are talking about these things, but then, you know, we just finished the terrible twos, we're in the threes, I'm in the thick of it, you know, and I know developmentally she is figuring out her autonomy. And there are so many beautiful things that are going to happen in three. But, you know, I was telling Dr. Ray when I presented at the last APT, I flew in the morning of my presentation, which do not recommend, by the way. But the night before, I was with Margot and I was trying to put her down. And she was so mad at me because she didn't want to go to sleep that she took her aluminum water bottle and threw it at my face and like busted my lip. And so the next morning, I'm like, I am such an imposter. Like I'm sitting at APT talking to a room full of people about parents and I have a busted lip from my kid. That is like,
my kid beat me up.
I should not be talking about anything. Like nobody should be listening to me. So I think that's, I don't know, the funny part of it too, where I just have to giggle and be like, you know, I'll just tell people I don't know what I'm doing. And maybe that'll make me feel less like an imposter. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, like even last week, Rob said something to Christy and I was like, well, like you're an expert. She's like, whoa, 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 whoa. No, but like, I mean, but in all honesty, we are experts. We know what we're doing. We went to school for a really long time and we've been in practice for a long time.
Yeah. We still got busted lips. So
it's what it is. Yeah. And I'm not calm. They're like, you must be so calm all the time.
Oh.
No, I yelled at them yesterday. You know, and what I do tell parents too is no, I'm not. And I've mastered the repair. And I think that's important. So I yelled at Molly the other night and it was not okay. And whatever reasons, I was my own human, but I know that she can interpret that differently. And so, you know, I went and apologized to her today and how much I loved her and like how important she was to me. And of course, then she was like, yes, I'm so mad. And so, okay.
Yes. Yeah. And I do, I think
actress.
Like, I think this whole conversation is so helpful too, because I just think, you know, I wrote about this. I believe in it so strongly. Like, what parents need more than anything is empathy. Y'all saw that the Surgeon General warning about like parent mental health being in crisis. I think that came out last year, April. I don't remember. I don't know what month it is, but it just came out that there is like a parent mental health crisis. And I'm like, yes, there are so many things parents are dealing with right now. Like, it is so hard to be a parent. It is so hard to, especially again, like the everything being so public, worries about finances, the economy, school shootings, all of these things. And then plus all the regular things about being a parent. And so I think it's so hard, because if you walk into a play therapy office and then a play therapist is saying to you, you know, I'll go back to myself with the like, well, research shows this is what you should be doing. And if you don't do that, you're a terrible parent. If a parent feels that way and has that shaming feeling, it is going to be so hard for them. You know, maybe they'll trust you as an expert, but it's going to be so hard for them to open up to you about the mistakes that they're making, and to feel they should feel held and safe and accepted in that relationship with you too. And so I think that empathy piece is just, I mean, I know I need it. I just want someone to be like, you're doing a good job, you know? So we don't hear that enough.
I think when I, after, at the, towards the end of our first meeting, or at some point, the times that we meet, I'll say, it's so evident how much you love your child. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really, it's usually when the tears come, it's when they kind of open up and feel appreciated, because it's very rare that someone's like, you are working as hard as you can. You love your child so deeply. Mm-hmm. I can see how much you love your child. And I think that's really impactful, just to recognize that.
Yeah. I agree.
Well, thank you for coming on. This was really great.
Thanks so much for having me, you guys. This was really fun.
It is. It's just fun to talk about.
So I think multiple perspectives are really important. And I hope you heard, we have a lot of similarities, but we also have different differences of the way we do things or how we view things, right? And I think that's really important to acknowledge as play therapists. All three of us were trained at the same center by almost all the same people, right? And we're going to interpret that different, and we're going to uniquely practice that matches well with who we are as individuals in areas that we feel passionate about. So I think that's a really important, I hope everyone hears that and when we're talking and when they walk away, so that you feel that you can authentically work with parents that feels good to you.
I agree, Christy. It's so nice hearing from different professionals in the field and give such a depth to what it is that we do, and the importance of aligning with the fundamentals and the theoretical pieces, but also recognizing and utilizing our own personalities and how we show up. So yeah, well, thank you so much, Ahu, for coming.
Well, thank you guys.
Yeah. And I want to remind everybody to read her book when it comes out, Working with Parents and Play Therapy, a resource guide for play therapists. And that should be out in July. And also to look at her blogs in Psychology Today called Nobody Knows What They're Doing, Navigating Parenting with an Ex-Child Expert Who is Humbled by Parenthood. So yeah, thank you so much. And again, if you guys have questions that you would like us to address or topics, you can like and write a review, or you can email us at playfulbeginningspodcast@gmail.com.